Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Ogling Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. 3 years ago, Google became a public company at $85 per share. Today, its stock may reach the $600 level. It traded as high as $5.96 yesterday. Google's been raking in the cash from web advertising, a market expected to reach more than $21 billion this year. The company will report third-quarter earnings in 2 weeks. Google's worth $180 billion, making it the third-largest tech company behind Microsoft and Cisco Systems. It was a mixed day for stocks yesterday. The Dow slipped from a record high by 40 points to 14,047, and the S&P lost a fraction to 1546. But the NASDAQ picked up 6 to 2747. Stocks in Asia were mixed overnight. Japan's Nikkei was up, but the market in Hong Kong fell from a record high. In the UK this morning, stocks are rising, especially shares in the troubled British mortgage lender Northern Rock. They're up more than 10% on reports an American private equity firm, J.C. Flowers, is ready to buy the company. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
J.C. Flowers is said to have raised £15 billion, that's more than $30 billion, to buy Northern Rock. The private equity firm reportedly wants to keep the company intact and not just grab the mortgage portfolio. A pleasant surprise for the Rock's beleaguered shareholders. Since the Bank of England bailed it out last month, the share price has fallen by 80%. The Rock's reputation has been shattered. Analyst Elisa Bayer is baffled by the American firm's interest in the company and the £15 billion price tag.
I wouldn't think at the moment anybody's actually got an idea of what price they would need to pay, and £15 billion seems a huge amount of money. They have, of course, got a huge loan book, but certainly all the big banks are backing off. Northern Rock have severe problems.
The Rock has been forced to borrow billions of dollars at punitive rates of interest from the Bank of England. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Valentino was the designer to Jacqueline Kennedy and Audrey Hepburn. Today, the designer presents his last ready-to-wear fashion show in Paris. But investors are betting his storied brand will bank future profits. Jill Barchet reports.
Valentino is handing his atelier to Alessandra Facchinetti. Never heard of her? Mark Caramzotti of Women's Wear Daily says that's the idea. He says at many fashion houses, the label is more important than the designer.
These are no longer just small designer labels. They've become brands, and they've used branding techniques to establish their names in the same way that Coca-Cola has.
And that's what's happened to Valentino. A private equity firm bought out the company earlier this year. Instead of renewing Valentino's contract, Caramzotti says the new investors replaced him.
Designers are retiring and leaving their brands in the hands of investment funds that in turn try to build a strong team rather than focus on one designer to succeed the name.
When investors take over design houses, they want to boost sales and make their luxury brands more available to the masses. So fashionistas may have to air kiss their exclusive couture goodbye. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
The Rolling Stones were on the road for nearly 2 years for their Bigger Bang tour. It wrapped up in London at the end of August. And the final results are in. According to Billboard, Bigger Bang made more than $500 million. That makes it the top-grossing tour in history. Bigger Bang beat U2's Vertigo tour, which grossed just $389 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
You may be on your way to work, but in the Republic of South Africa, it's the end of the business day. And the classiest ride home is a train serving the country's biggest township. Gretchen Wilson hops aboard in Johannesburg.
Every afternoon, thousands of people pour into Park Station. These nurses, bankers, and students squeeze into packed trains. They're bound for homes in Soweto, 15 miles southwest of the city. Passenger Maloko Tehale says it can be mayhem.
Very crowded. You don't have to go in. They'll just push you in. You don't have to get out. They'll just push you out.
That's what happened to Johannesburg's black residents under apartheid. They were pushed out to Soweto, into small houses and shantytowns. But work remained in the city, and for decades, residents like Tehale had few options. Either take one of these trains or face gridlock on just one highway. But now there's the Soweto Business Express train. Inside, yellow curtains frame the windows. The plush blue seats boast tons of legroom. A monthly pass costs $42, more than three times the regular train.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Siposisong Romane is with Metrorail, which launched the train in June. He says it's a symbol of South Africa's changing demographics.
We've seen this upsurge in the number of middle-class people in the townships.
To cater to this middle-class market, the train has perks, like free newspapers, plus free cappuccinos and other drinks.
Hot chocolate?
Yes.
Thank you.
The train also has counter spaces with sockets for laptops.
This is your workstation area, so you can work while in transit.
Like 31-year-old business analyst Lungel Wankulu, she says she couldn't work on regular trains for fear of being mugged.
In the regular train, you don't want people to know that you've got a laptop in the train. Otherwise, you will lose it, obviously.
South African trains are notoriously unsafe. But Dekhale says locals call this train the Makoti, or bride. That's because it gives passengers everything they want.
Yo, a car, it takes me 2.5 hours to get home, and with this, it takes me 35 minutes to get home.
That shorter commute time means a better quality of life. And for those who were deliberately isolated under apartheid, the Soweto Business Express shows their country is on the right track. In Soweto, South Africa, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.